welcome to Higher Perspectives with Susie and Mindy. We're glad you're here. And here's this week's episode. Hey, what are we going to be talking about today on Higher Perspectives?
Today, we are talking about getting out of our comfort zones.
Ooh, that's good. That's heavy. Good.
It's very heavy.
Well, because that's where all the growth happens, which we want. And at the same time, it's not always pleasant at the beginning. So how about a definition? Let's start there.
Okay. Out of control, the definition kind of sort of that I gravitated towards was a situation or activity that one does not feel safe or secure in, or gives the feeling / illusion of not having control, because really we don't have control over much of anything anyhow.
yeah.
So that was the definition that I decided to go with.
Okay, great. So why don't we start off with an example of getting out of your comfort zone?
Okay.
Because everything we want is outside of that little safe comfort zone.
My example, there's so many examples we could go with. I mean, any one person has a ton of examples, but I chose the example of like going out. Like I go to music festivals and like the Hot Air Balloon Festival and that. I travel, but I go to music festivals and I do this stuff alone. And I remembered when I first started going alone, which was quite a while ago, I would say probably 12, 15 years ago, I started going to music festivals alone. And that was very hard to step out and do. That was definitely out of my comfort zone. I'm not a very high anxiety person as it is. So even the low level of anxiety that I felt, say, even just getting one ticket months in advance, and then the closer it got, like the anxiety level went up. So I was definitely out of my comfort zone because you start thinking, you know, am I going to know anybody? This, that, and the other. And you just have all these scenarios in your head, and it's always worse than what it plays out to be. So I had went to a music festival alone. I pulled up and it ended up that I was on a social media account of a music group, and people were actually looking for me that wanted to meet me in person. And it ended up being like I had like 30 or 40 friends hanging out with me because they sought me out. And that's kind of how it's almost always been. Every time I go to a music festival, if somebody's not seeking me out, I'm seeking them out, and I'll catch a couple shows. And it's ended up, instead of me feeling alone in a crowd of people, I feel like I'm surrounded in thousands of people. That's my family. I'll be in other states and there's always a bunch of people I know, and the camaraderie at these music festivals, like nobody's a stranger, that type of thing. And so it's ended up being awesome because, say, if I had a friend that I went with, a best friend or whatever, I would have to per se maybe miss a band that I really wanted to see in the name of compromise, you know, so they could see a band that was playing at the same time. So, you know, and it sounds selfish, but in reality, I don't have to sacrifice seeing any of the bands I want to see because of somebody else's schedule. Or, you know, say if I would go with a significant other or a friend and they get sick, then, you know, I'm not going to just leave them, you know, somewhere and like off enjoy my, you know, on my own. I would stick with them. It's the right thing to do. Plus, I get to stand where I want. I love being in the up front on the rail. We call it riding the rail. I love to do that. I love being in the mosh pit. And most people don't like being in a mosh pit unless they're younger. Since I'm 54, I look around, I'm like, you know, I'm the oldest person here. That's my example of, because once I stood out and went out of my comfort zone and decided I was doing it, I craved more because the benefits, even though when you're sitting at home before you do it and you're like crossing off the checklist of benefits, like, hey, I'll get to see the bands I want to see. I'll get to see this and that. You still have that low or high level of self-pity of like, but I'm going to be alone. And what if something bad happens and all of this stuff? And, you know, none of that stuff ever came true. Like, I have not had a bad experience other than not being able to find my car because I didn't pin it on my maps. You know, it's ended up being one of the best experiences I have all the time is going places alone, traveling. You know, I get to just get up at the time I want to get up. I get to go see all the things I want to see that time allows me, you know, and it sounds kind of selfish saying all of that, but that was my comfort zone because I had always went with or made plans with somebody else. And now I'm living my life and I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Now you're making me want to travel. Okay. And then while you were talking, it just reminds me of Joseph Campbell about go to the island, burn the boat, commit. It's the whole, the hero's journey, the arc of the hero's journey is you pick a thing, you make a commitment, go out into the island, you burn the boat so you have no choice. And you're like, okay, I'm on this island. How am I going to make this work? I got no clue. And so I have a couple examples. One of them, my first one was I was 19 and this is back in 1980. And no one, I lived in a small town, fourth generation, same house. No one had ever traveled. And I just knew something had to happen. And it was a thing on the wall at school. And it was about spend a summer in Spain, you know, going to the University of Valencia and live with a Spanish family. I had no clue. Okay, I didn't even know where Spain was. Think of this, 1980. I had no clue. And I just knew that if I didn't do something, that I was just going to be stuck. I would get a job, probably get married, stay in that little town the rest of my life. And I had to do something to shake myself up. And I knew if I didn't do it, I don't know. I just couldn't. I had to do something. So I just signed up and sent the money. I had no clue what I was doing, never traveled before. I had to buy a suitcase, buy clothes. I had no idea, nothing. It was the best thing I ever did. When I got there, I was super homesick for like 2 days and I cried. And then I stayed there all summer and I met people from California. I met a girl from the Bay Area and I ended up living there like 20 years later. And it just expanded my horizon. I never had coffee until I went to Spain. Just every single thing about it just expanded me so much. And I had no idea what I was doing, but there's going to be other students. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to do something. And I'm so grateful that I went and I did that because I met so many different people and I went all these different places and had all these adventures. I met students from all over the United States and it just expanded my horizon. It like blew the top off of my head because I think I was on a plane for like 12 hours. I never had that experience. And at that time, it wasn't like when you go today, everybody speaks English. No. And if you wanted to make a call home, you had to go to the Telefonico. You had to like make an appointment. It was a whole scene. It was awesome. So because I did that, then I kind of I use that as a platform and I stand on my old experiences. Like, well, I didn't know what I was doing then. So after being in the Bay Area for 25 years, I just knew it was time to go because I just ran out of fire and energy and desire to get one more job. I knew all the jobs. I knew how much work it would be. I couldn't stay in that same place with all my same neighbors and all the same and expand myself. So I just decided it was time to move. People kept asking me, like, aren't you scared? And what if you get there and people don't like you? And I got people in my family that don't like me. You know, who cares? I can't worry about everybody else and if they like me or don't like me. And I just think, if I get there and it's not a fit, wherever there is, I hadn't figured that out yet. But if I get there and it's not really my jam, I'm a grown-ass woman. I can get up and move again. It's not that big of a deal. I'm never going backward. But make a commitment. Do all the stuff that you're scared of.
Yeah, I actually want to say that you brought up a really good point, too, about you cannot stay where you're at, whether it's in your own comfort zone or not, because to keep somebody else in their comfort zone. That is huge, which actually is a good segue to our next podcast that's going to be people pleasing. But I really like what you said, like you cannot stay in your comfort zone or not expand to help somebody else stay in their comfort zone. Yeah, we want some audience participation and hear your experiences. And even if it is the experience of, you know, staying where you're at to, you know, to accommodate somebody else's comfort zone, because that'll give us some material and we can use maybe some of your story or your whole story as an example for our next podcast on people pleasing. Because that definitely ties into people pleasing.
Right.
Agreed. I think that is a wrap. I think that is. What's our next thing here? Right. Okay. Are we ready? Okay. So let's get higher. Yay. Okay. Bye, Susie.